Okay, Rabbeinu B'chai, Parshas Pekudei. He starts off with a pasuk in Mishlei. Tov ma'at b'yiras Hashem mi'otzer rav u'mehumavo. It's better a little bit with yiras Hashem than a ton, a whole treasure house, with confusion. Tov aruchos yarak v'hav Hashem. Better to have a small vegetable meal and love there, mishor avus v'sinabo, than a great, a huge steak meal, and there's hate there. Okay, that's the pasuk in Mishlei, Perek Tesvav, pasuk Tazayin, and Yudzayin. Okay, so he discusses at length this pasuk. The first part, the first pasuk, is referring to that it's better to have a little bit with Yiras Hashem than a lot with confusion about gezel, about stealing. That it's better to have a little bit of money and Yiras Hashem as opposed to a ton of money and mehuma, as he calls it. And that's just a general Musar Shmuz there. We're not going to go into that too much. But he also mentions this in the terms of Yediyas HaTorah, knowledge of Torah, that it's better to have a little bit with Yiras Hashem than a ton and you're confused. So that means he's saying don't bite off more than you can chew, even when it comes to learning Torah. In other words, it's better to do a little bit and have something that you can absorb than to go to something you can't absorb. His example, he's talking about Kabbalah or something that's above your mind. If it's something you can't understand, then you shouldn't get involved in it. It's better to have a little bit and understand it well. Presumably, one could also extend that to just the quantity of your learning, the speed and quantity of what you learn. If you're learning too fast, you may not be able to absorb it either. It'll just be confusion, and that's not so helpful. But okay, that's not exactly what he's talking about. He's talking about in terms of the level. If you're going to learn something like Kabbalah and it's above you, don't try. Better to have something you understand. He also brings this medrash which is more relevant to the second part of the second pasuk, that it's better to have a small meal with a small vegetable meal and love than to have a fancy steak meal and hatred. The simple reasoning of that, of course, is, you know, you'd rather have a meal with a simpler meal with friends and loved ones than a very fancy meal with people you hate. But the Medrash says, gives this interesting story about Shlomo. Shlomo HaMelech was king of the Jewish people, but at some point he was kicked out of being king. It's a machlokas whether he came back. But at some point he was kicked out of being king with Ashmedai. So when he was not king anymore, in the time when he was not king, and he was not happy about it, so he was in the streets, and a poor man and a rich man found him. And they each invited him home to their houses for a meal. So first he goes to the rich man's home for a meal, and the rich man knows it's Shlomo, and he, of course, gives him the fanciest meal he could give him, and says, oh yeah, remember when you used to be in the palace there, and you had meals, you know, similar to this? And Shlomo HaMelech begins crying, and he doesn't touch any of the food. He's not hungry anymore. The next night he goes to the poor man's house, and the poor man offers him a very teeny meal, and he says, you know, Hashem swore to David that the kingship will never stop from his line, and I know you're out of being the king for now, but it'll come back, and that's Hashem, you know, gives people onshim or whatever, sometimes does bad, but it's only Hashem is always menachim them, and there always comes a nacham at the end, and he'll eventually become king again, and your line will continue. And Shlomo heard this, he was so happy, and he was much more happy with that food. And he, you know, remembered the greatness of that meal than the rich man's meal. And that's what the pasuk means. Tov aruchas yarek v'ava sham mishor avos v'sinabo. Okay, in other words, that story is what Shlomo was referring to in this pasuk. Anyway, towards the end, of his Musar introduction, he mentions that the Pekudei is about, you know, we did the Jewish people did the Chet Egel, and Hashem was mochel them. Hashem forgave them. And when the Mishkan was built, Hashem Shechina was Shora in the Mishkan. And so he brings the Chazal that says that the Jewish people sinned with Eile Elohecha Yisrael. That was the sin of the golden calf when they said, this is your God Israel. So the Chazal Darshan, they sinned with the word Eile, Eile Elohecha Yisrael. And then when they were forgiven, they were nisratzu with the words, Eile Pekudei HaMishkan. Chatu be'eile, nisratzu be'eile. So, okay, that's the Medrash. So that first pasuk says, Eile Pekudei HaMishkan, which said Eile is that they were forgiven, the Shechina was shown again with Klal Yisrael. Ele pegude ha-mishkan, mishkan ha-edus. Now this is absolutely fascinating, at least to me. It's a gematria, but the Rabbeinu Bechai brings, we know the Chazal, Rashi brings that the reason it says Mishkan Mishkan Eilah Begude HaMishkan Mishkan HaEdus is because there would be the Batei Mikdash would be a Mashkan, they'd be held as collateral for the Jewish people that sinned. The first Beis HaMikdash and second Beis HaMikdash were held as a Mashkan. So he says this incredible gematria that he says this is all this. Pekudei HaMishkan, Mishkan HaEdus is a remez to the two Batei Mikdash and the time before it. Because what's the gematria of Mishkan? 410. That's how long the first Beis HaMikdash lasted. HaMishkan, I believe he says with the osios, I think he means the two, if you spell out hey, it's hey hey. So HaMishkan with the two heys would be 420. That's a hint to the second Beis HaMikdash. And it's also possible he means if there are five letters in HaMishkan, and that would be another five. So either way, that's how he adds 10, either because it's the Hey Hey or the Hey and the five letters of HaMishkan, whatever it is. So that equals to 420. And then there is the Edus. Edus, HaEdus, spelled without the Vav. Is 480, and that's connected the 480 years from the time the Jewish people left Egypt until they built the first Beis HaMikdash was 480 years. It's actually 479, because it's missing one, because they built the Mishkan in the second year, so it's really the time from the Mishkan till the Beis HaMikdash was built. So you have a remez in HaMishkan, Mishkan Edus, first Beis HaMikdash, second Beis HaMikdash, and the time beforehand. How did he know that? I don't know. I don't know how. So he actually writes, Kol Eilu HaChesbonos Ro'os HaMoshe B'Ruach HaKodesh. Moshe knew these Cheshbonos in Ruach HaKodesh. I don't know. Right. Through Ruach HaKodesh, you could figure this out. I don't know how else otherwise. Anyway, okay, so that's what it's all remez to. Fine. He also brings this medrash there that says that it's referring generally to the Batei Mikdash and the Goyim that like to destroy it. So why did the Goyim against our Mishkans, our Batei Mikdash, why did they destroy it? So he brings this medrash that says that it's similar to a person who hates the an officer, and he can't get at the officer, he can't hurt the officer because the officer is surrounded by guards. So when the king is visiting somewhere, he tries to knock over the pillar of the building that the king is in, so that this way he'll destroy the king or destroy the Tsar. The point is that when the Goyim want to get at Hashem, they can't attack Hashem, so they can attack the Beis HaMikdash, which is a sign of Hashem. He can attack the Jewish people. The Goyim can attack the Jewish people because they are also a way of getting at Hashem. In other words, they have no way to attack God, so some of the Sinas HaGoyim to the Yidden comes from that. Comes from at least at some periods, was an attack on the Rabbonu Shel Olam himself. And since they cannot do that, they attack the Beis HaMikdash, or they attack the Yidden as proxies. And that's, he quotes his pasuk as it's that says, Yodea kemevi lamayla b'svach et kardumos. That's as if they're trying to go up to heaven, build stairs to heaven to go attack heaven. They can't, so they come to us. All right. Next is, it says that the Jewish people donated Me'as HaKikar. Me'as HaKikar, that's 100 kikar. So Rashi brings how that works out, right? That's the shekels that the Jewish people brought, worked out the Me'as HaKikar, which is the 600,000 Jews, was Me'as HaKikar. So the Brein HaBachai brings the Cheshbon of Rashi, that there is, for every kikar, there's 120 mana. For every mana, there's 25 shekels. So 120 times 25 is 3,000. And 3,000 times 100 is 300,000. And that was, so they collected, so 300,000 shekelim means, since everyone only donated half a shekel, that's the 600,000. So 100 kikar was the 600,000 half shekels. So based on that, he says you can understand why Haman, in the time of Purim, donated 10,000 kikar kesef. Remember, the Jews at the Machzor Shekel, it was collected 100 kikar. So Haman donated 10,000 kikar. Now, why was that? So the Gemara in Megillah says, Tosfos Megillah there says the same thing, that it was connected to the Machzor Shekel that was donated. It was like Haman trying to pay for each Jew that they should be killed. So how does that work out? How does it work out to the Machzor Shekel? Well, so the Rabbeinu Bechai says it should work out. If 100 kikar is the 600,000, so then how does 10,000 kikar work out? So it comes out, if 100 kikar is 600,000 people, so then if you had 200 kikar, right, if 1,000 kikar would be 5 shekel per person, and that would be keneged the, as if he was being poda to each person, like when a child is born, you give 5 slime to the kohen. So it would be like that. And he's trying to be poda to each Jew. And that was because, says the Rabbeinu Bechai, because he knew that the Jewish people sold Yosef for 20 shekel, 20 kesef, which is 5 shekels. And that sin had not been punished. The Jews hadn't been punished for that sin yet. And he was hoping that through his donation, it would be like being to all of the Jews that they should all be destroyed because of that sin. Of course, that equals only to 1,000 kikar, not 10,000. So he says, well, he wanted to do it 10 times over because of the Aseres Adibros that they didn't follow. Okay, that's one version. The other version is that Haman was donating 50 shekel per person because in the Parsha of Erechin in the Torah, if a person says Erki Alai, they have to donate a certain amount of money to the Beis HaMikdash. If a person says, my value was donated to the Beis HaMikdash, they have to give specified amounts. If they use those words, Erki Alai, they have to give specified amounts to the Beis HaMikdash as a donation. The highest amount of that is 50 shekel. So he was trying to donate that money to beat Poda, all of Klal Yisrael. Again, this is all, in a sense, to pay off for all the Jews that they should, as a schus, that they should be killed. And as the Gemara in Megillah tells us that the Haman says that the carbon omer that they brought was worth more than all of his money he tried to give to get them killed. The psukim later, it mentions the menorah, and it says, "Es neiroseha, neiros hama'arocha." So he says these extra words, "neiros hama'arocha," he says is a hint to what the menorah is supposed to represent, and that is one of the things it represents is it's keneged the ma'arocha in Shamayim. There are 7 stars, Shiva Kochvei Leches, as they're known, the 7 planets. So those are the 7 mazalos in the sky, not all 12, the Shiva Kochvei Leches. So it's a hint, it's a remez to those 7 kochavim, because the whole Mishkan is supposed to be connected, the whole upper worlds, the lower worlds. So it's hinted to these upper worlds, the 7 stars that go around in the sky, is hinted to in the 7 parts of the menorah. Again, those Shiva Kochvei Leches, you know, in English, we don't think about it too much, but the days of the week, Chazal tell us each day of the week has one of these 7 stars, or planets, really, that is in charge. So the 7 branches of the menorah are connected to those. So in English, we only talk about a few of them. We have Sunday is for the sun. Monday is for the moon. Saturn day, right, is for Saturn. If you speak Spanish, they have the other ones in there, too. Martes is for Mars, and French and Spanish have more of them. But anyway, there is Jupiter, and there is Venus. I think that's Friday. I think Viernes. Anyway, whatever it is, those seven stars that circulate. So that's what the 7 branches of the menorah are. So that's called the Ma'arecha Shamayim. So the Neiros HaMa'arecha, those 7 branches of the menorah are connected that. Okay. Again, this is a short parsha, so I'm just saying this stuff, you know, there's not a very long Rabbeinu Bechai, so even though some of these are more, you know, just in Yonim, but we're saying them over because it's a short parsha. So, the other thing is, when they put up the Mishkan, so Moshe made a tefillah, Rashi brings, Yiratzon Shetishre Shechina B'mayis Yedechem. And he said, "V'hi Noam Hashem Elokeinu Aleinu." So that's the parak in Tehillim. That V'hi Noam, that parak in Tehillim is the one that we say on Shabbos, Tefillah LaMoshe. It says Moshe said this, and at the end of it, it says, "V'hi Noam Hashem Elokeinu Aleinu Maasei Yedenu Kanun Aleinu Maasei Yedenu Kanun." That parsha was said. That parak of Tehillim was said by Moshe himself when he put up the Mishkan. And the words, what do the words mean? So Rabbeinu Bechai explains it means like this: V'hi Noam Hashem Elokeinu Hashem's sweetness or whatever should be on us, pleasure should be on us. Aleinu Masi Yedenu Konon Aleinu. V'hino Amashem Lakinu Aleinu. So the second part, Masi Yedenu Konon Aleinu, Masi Yedenu Kononeu. It sounds repetitious, the last part, right? It says Masi Yedenu Konon Aleinu, Masi Yedenu Kononeu. In fact, some of Farshim do say it's basically repetitious, but the Rabbeinu Bechai says it's not repetitious. Talking about two different things. Masi Yedenu Konon Aleinu refers to Birkas Kohanim, that Aaron did Birkas Kohanim that day, and that's what he meant. That Ma'ase Yadeinu Konon Aleinu means the Ma'ase Yadayim of Aaron who did Birkas Kohanim should be Matzliach on us, and then Ma'ase Yadeinu Kononeo that we should generally have Hatzlacha with the things that we did. Okay, and then another fascinating gematria, or I don't know if it's a gematria, well, sort of like a gematria. Without Ruach HaKodesh, I don't know how you do come up with this. But the Pasuk in Perek Mem, Pasuk Tazayin, says, on the Pasuk Kein Asa, so Rabbeinu Bechai points out that from the time of the Pasuk starts, Pesukim start talking about building the Mishkan, till the Mishkan is completed here, and you know all the talk of the Mishkan is completed, it says Asiya 248 times. You have to take out the Asiyas by the Egel, obviously. He seems to think it's not so obvious, and he has to explain it. But yes, he takes out. You have to take. You don't count the asiya, the making of the egel, when it says asiya. But all the other asiyas you count, you'll see it's 248 asiyas, because he says in the Mishkan is connected all the mitzvos, and it's also we know a person has 248 ivarim limbs. So too, the Mishkan really is kolel, has in it the entire world and all of man inside of it. So that's a remez to that. Okay. Finally, just the last thing here today. It says that the at the end there, it says Kiyan in Perek Mem Pasuk Lamed Ches Kiyanan Hashem Al Hamishkan Yomam VeEshtiyeh Laila Bo. So he says the word Yomam and Laila really are a little bit extra. Could have said Kianan Hashem Ala Mishkan Yom or Bayom, because the real word is Yom. And he says, interestingly, the real word for night is Lail. I think we're used to using that as night of, but he says the real word is Lail, and Laila has an extra hey, just like Yomam has an extra mem. Okay, so he says that the hey. Again, this is above my pay grade, as they say, but I'm just repeating what he says here. The hey is midas adin, because at night there's midas adin. Yomam sounds like multiple days, like rachamim sounds multiple. So he says rachamim and yomam, because in the daytime is a time of rachamim, and the nighttime is a time of din. And that's why we say, v'higisa bo yomam v'layla. Because it's also supposed to enter that, because when it comes to the Torah is made up of Midas HaRachamim and Midas HaDin. What does that mean? Torah Shebichsav and Torah Shebapes. So Torah Shebichsav, which is Rachamim, that, as we know, he doesn't mention this, but there is a halacha that a person is supposed to learn Torah Shebichsav by day, and Torah Shebapes by night. I don't know if it's official Isser, but certainly Al Pi Kabbalah, this type of stuff, you're not supposed to learn Torah Shebichsav at night. Torah Shebichsav is supposed to be learned in the daytime. You know, if you're reading Chumash and Rashi, so you know that the Rashi may make the whole thing okay. Yeah. But generally, just to read Torah Shebichsav by night, you're supposed to read Torah Shebichsav by day, because that's hinted to in this pasuk. Yigisabo yomam, that's midas rachamim, because Torah has a portion of it that is rachamim, that's Torah Shebichsav, as opposed to Torah Shebapeh, that's midas adin, and that's done at night. And we'll stop here.